I've entitled this morning's message, Be Sure. And I think that sentence will ring clear throughout the sermon. I could be wrong. So let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship for the rest of the day. And maybe until Jesus comes again or calls us home. Father, we thank you for this day that we set apart to worship you. We thank you that we have this open hotline, that we can cry out to you any moment of the day, that we can lay our request at your feet. And you're attentive to our whisper, to our cry, and to our call. God, will you send your Spirit to fill this place to the overflow, that not one person that's here today would leave this sanctuary unmarked or unchanged. God, will you use this day to be one step closer to bringing completion to the work you've begun? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you attend regularly, you know I ask questions. So here's the question. What does it take to successfully get through life? Well, several things come to my mind. Here, I'll start my list. Ready? Action. To get through life, we have to move. So it takes action. It takes ability, maybe power or productivity or knowledge or commitment or foresight or hard work, maybe a strong will. I mean, we could add more to the list, right? What does it take to successfully get through life? You make your thoughts. I just shared mine. But I believe what should be at the very front of this list, to successfully make it through this life, it takes Jesus. Mm-hmm. Once we've placed Jesus at the helm, he holds the wheel. Stop taking it back. We have committed, we have submitted to the fact that he is in control. You bet. I love it when they listen. So what do we do once we've made that commitment? I love it. We trust. We trust that he will get us through the situations this life gets through us. He is able. With him, all things are possible. 2 Peter 1:3 reassures us, this is word for word, his divine power, that's God's power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. This one verse tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us everything we need for today. Throughout life, we live one day at a time and we live it to the fullest, yes? Or do we just try to wander our way through and say, another day down? Jesus gives us everything we need for life when? When we respond. When we take an action and answer his call. Hello? Is Jesus ringing you up? Does he have your attention right now? I hope so. What we need for a successful life, Jesus has it all. But before we answer the question, what does it take to get through life successfully? We have to answer the question, do we have life? Well, yeah, I'm in the church. I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm life. In John 14:6, we hear Jesus saying this all familiar verse. Maybe if you want to join in because you know it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. I am so proud of the church. You know God's word. Now we need to get it into us and apply it. In him there is life. The word of God makes this point very clear. churches throughout the world, in this community, our church included, has on their signboard put this profound message. Maybe you've seen it. N-O. Know Jesus, no life. K-N-O-W. Know Jesus, no life. Do you know Jesus? Do you know about Jesus? See, I can know about Jesus until the cows come home, but until I know Jesus, is there going to be a difference in my life? John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We need to be sure we know Jesus, according to God's word. We must come to the life-changing understand that Jesus is the source of life. And what kind of life? You guys are really good. Did you read my sermon when I was out of the room? Back in John 10:10, the second half, we read Jesus speaking, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, clearly, you read a different translation because it says, "and they may have life more abundantly." Abundant, overflowing, more than I can comprehend or contain. And that's what Jesus wants to give us. Life. Overflowing. You know, a vast majority of people on the face of this planet are chasing after temporal things that do not last. Why? To be perceived as living a fulfilled life. I got the car, I got the watch, I got the house. I must be blessed. They're deceived. The fulfilling life that everybody should be seeking is only found when we turn our lives over to Jesus and receive the ability and the power to productively live the life He has planned for us. Do you know God's plan for your life? Have you talked with Jesus? Show me your way, Lord. Reveal to me what you want me to do today, tomorrow, till you come again or call me home. To successfully get through life, we must intentionally purpose to live by faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you don't see. I know Jesus goes before me. If you had one iota of the stuff I am going through at this moment, God is going to do a great thing. I'm just telling you. Because when I have a hard day, great things happen. So I'm excited. Look, life without purpose is meaningless. When people have no purpose in life, they begin feeling hopeless, discouraged, full of gloom. Maybe you've met them. Maybe you're sitting next to one. Wait, I say this lovingly. Maybe you're one. But Jesus can make a difference. How many people get up in the morning to go to a job they don't really like, to make just enough money to pay the bills for the month, just so they can get up and do it again and again, day after day after day, until the question settles in, what's the use? Life without purpose isn't much of a life. If there's anything we need to take away from this sermon, it is that Jesus Christ gives life and purpose and meaning to our lives. Because He lives, I can face today. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll begin reading at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So right out the gate, Peter tells us that Jesus gives us everything we need for life and godliness. That's our purpose. To be godly. To be like Christ. To be. Now, how do we become like Jesus? He was perfect. I am not. Yes, are you perfect? For a second here, let's look at the basics. Okay? When a person comes to Christ by faith, they're born again. When a person comes to Christ by faith, they're born again. We're given a new identity. I was, now I am. Yes? Did that happen for you? You ask me how I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Look at 2 Peter 1:4. Through these, he, that's God, has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine, or God's, nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. When you place your faith in Jesus, he gives new life. Here's that secret I was holding for right now. Jesus lives in you. He lives in you. Do you know Jesus? Did you answer the call? He has taken up residence in you. Now, for some of us, that might be a little bit difficult to take in. But it's not really that hard to understand. Let me try and simplify this. I have a son. Yes, Adam. And he is unique. There is not a person on the planet like him. But he carries a part of me in him. As one comedian put it, it's me, me, and mini-me. That's my son. All right, it's our son. Yeah. Me, mini-me. And as a result of this little piece of me taking up residence in him, he looks like me, he sounds like me, he talks like me. To a certain point, he acts like me. Why? Because he has a portion of my nature in him. Sometimes my wife looks at our son and he says, "Oh, you are so like your father." Now, I don't know if you can see the picture, but we were in Florida. When my mother lived in Florida. And there was a tree, a palm tree, and it was just growing askew. And so I was pushing and he was pulling. We're idiots. It's so cool. So when she says, "You are so like your father," it's not necessarily a compliment, but it is very true. Spiritually speaking, what does that mean for us? If we're God's children, we have his nature in us. He's given us everything we need to fulfill our God-given purpose in life. To be godly. To be like him. The greatest compliment you'll ever receive is if somebody says, "You're acting just like your heavenly Father." At that point, I believe you're reflecting Jesus, which means you're fulfilling your God-given purpose. Now, of course, there's the other side of the thought. When we act ungodly or behave in a way that doesn't reflect Jesus that well, are we fulfilling the purpose of God in our lives? Someone else is influencing. This bids the question, how do we get to the point where we're like Jesus? Can we even do it? Be like Jesus. Perfect. How do we become like Jesus? I'll tell you, it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by knowing we have eternal life. That's not enough. It's not just wishing we could be more like Jesus. That won't move us forward. If we want to fulfill God's purpose in our lives, we must develop the qualities of God and Christ in our lives. It's a choice. We have to follow the directions. In other words, we need to get involved in the process. His character qualities are our foundation for being like Christ. Do you know what his qualities are? Then you can't be like Christ. It's impossible to do something you know nothing of. So we pay attention to verse 5. If you're there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says this instruction. Make every effort, this isn't there, but at all cost, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. At all cost, to your faith. Add goodness. I can't do it for you. You have to do it. Not just what would Jesus do, but who is Jesus? And how does he impact the way I live my life? That's what we need to do. We are to be displaying godly character in every area of our life. Peter goes on to say, and to goodness? Knowledge. I have been talking about knowledge and wisdom for this month. We need to get it in us. And now I'm sharing you wisdom from God's word in 2 Peter chapter 1. Adding knowledge is taking our doctrinal understanding, or what we believe God's word to be saying, and making it practical. To say it better, to be putting it into practice. What does God's word say? Add to your faith. Thank you. There's one. Goodness. And to goodness, what do we have to add? Knowledge. Okay, we're going here. This is God's word. It doesn't return empty. Someone has said, it's not what we know, it's what we show. You want to write that one down. It's not what we know. Is what we show. We're to be living out the Word of God daily as we go through life. That's not an easy task, and you will never, ever, ever, I will never, ever, ever do it in my own strength. I stand here in His strength. Then in verse 6, if you're there, we read, to knowledge, ouch, self-control. This means we go about our day being submissive to the Spirit of God. To the best of our ability, we say no to our sinful nature and yes to the Spirit of God. Is that your first line of defense when something in life comes up? Or like many, do you fall victim? Are you deceived? When we yield to the Spirit's direction, we are intentionally choosing to place ourselves in God's control. Choose you this day in whom you will serve. You can be sure there's no better place to be. And when you experience, you're going to go, you know what, I'm not going there anymore. I'm going over here because you know what, this is good. Is it always pleasant? No. You know why? Because when you start taking a step in a new direction, closer to Jesus, somebody doesn't want you to. So the attacks are great. And this is why we need to know what God's word says. What do we need? I don't know. We need goodness and maybe knowledge and a couple other things. Seven things. How am I going to remember that? Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. All right, don't write it down, but write the reference down. And then read it and read it and reread it. Okay, look at the center of verse 6. Add to self-control, perseverance. Perseverance is being an all-in follower of Christ while you wait patiently for whatever conflict or trial you're going through to pass. That's perseverance. I will trust in you only to get me through whatever it is. Because you're all going through something. I'm going through a physical thing right now. And by God's grace, I'm making it. And because of the prayers of the saint, I'm just telling you. Look at the end of verse 6. And to perseverance, godliness. Godliness is being authentic followers of Christ. It's not so much an identity as Christian. When the school says, what faith? Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, atheist. I'm a child of God. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm not a Christian because I don't like some Christians because they're just Christian. They know about God. They know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. But I still love them. I still love Muslims and atheists because they are God's creation. And there's nothing. God can get their attention. There's testimony after testimony. God loves his creation, humanity. And we're to be like him. We're authentic followers of Christ, not because we're Christian, but because we have a personal attitude towards God that results in actions that please him. So if you're not feeling comfortable with the way you are, maybe you're not living the way you were created to be. Verse 7 says, to godliness, mutual affection. Mutual affection has to do with our investment in other believers. Understanding that all of us that have the life of Christ in us, we have a common bond. We're not like those that don't have Jesus. Okay? We're set apart. We're different. We resemble Christ. And as such, we are committed to our family, both in the flesh and in Christ. These instructions end with, and a mutual affection, love. Now, commentaries tell us that the word used here is the strongest word available to express our love to others. There is no stronger word. It is agape. That self-sacrificing love that Christ showed towards us in going to the cross to die in our place. He loves us that much. Jesus calls us to love one another with agape love. In John 15:12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not my suggestion, not what I do out of guilt, not what I do because it's the right thing to do. We do it because God says so. He's the standard. What does it take to successfully make it through life? We need to come to Christ by faith and get his life pumping through us, not just for today or tomorrow, but through all eternity. Apart from him, we got nothing. We need to fulfill God's purpose for our lives by becoming like Christ in all that we do. Now, no doubt there's someone here in this room that's saying, why bother? Well, thankfully, Peter gave us verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read that over and over and over again this week if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, see me. I'll put a Bible in your hand. You need to get God's Word into your life to have life. Life's not about reaching perfection in any one of these areas. It ain't going to happen until we get to heaven anyway. But it is about growing in these areas. And the result will be an effective, productive life lived for Christ. I want to be a church that reflects Christ well. I want people to walk past you at Redner's and Hornings and wherever the other public shop that you shop is, and they say, those people love Jesus. I know this because they're loving me. What does that look like? Hey, let's buy some diapers and give little onesies to an organization that goes into the world and reflects Jesus well. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for all you do. And I think you're going through some hard times now with the world. And we pray for protection for you as you serve your Heavenly Father. And you reflect Him well at all costs. We do it by spending 2 hours at some place where we give out food. There is a real need. People are not eating for 3 days. Because they didn't get to school that day to provide the means for the week. It's a real issue. There's people living couch to couch because they don't have a home. We're to love as Christ loved us. Father, I thank you for this time to focus on your word, and I pray that your word would not return empty, but it would accomplish what you set it out to do. So each person here that I really don't even recognize have heard your word. You know them by name. You love them, and you've called them here for such a time as this. And I pray that the words that have gone out have pierced the darkness, that it has softened the heart and the mind to be open and receptive to your word. That you would continue to create in us a desire to know you more by spending time in your word. And I thank you in advance for the people that are going to read 14 chapters today, this week, because they have to catch up in Proverbs. And God, I pray that you would create in us a hunger and a thirst for you that nothing will quench until we find you. I ask this in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen.